Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about shame. Our article is from the New York Post and is by Dean Balsalamini and Susan Edelman and is entitled, New York City Medic Helped Make Ends Meet with Racy OnlyFans Side Gig. A young NYC paramedic says she is so cash-strapped from her low-paying ambulance job that she moonlighted by selling online access to erotic photos and videos of herself. Lauren Caitlin Quay, 23, works for Senior Care EMS, an ambulance company serving hospitals in the city's 911 system. She also posted images on her OnlyFans account, where subscribers can see her in lingerie or in the buff for fees starting at $11.99 a month. The bottom line is, I don't get paid a lot. I'm just trying to make ends meet, Quay told the Post. I truly don't think this has anything to do with being a paramedic. Pay up or mind your own business, Quay, using the handle Lao at Lao, blared on her sexually suggestive site. The 5'2", 120-pound West Virginia transplant began posting content on August 2019. A subscriber to Quay's site found 32 posts on November 25, including a photo showing her nude with certain items that I'm not going to read about here on the radio, and she does some other things that are also not fit for children's ears. Quay defended her side gig. At the end of the day, it doesn't affect how I treat people. What I do in my free time is my business, and it has no effect on how I care for my patients. I know when I'm working, I'm a paramedic. I think I'm pretty good at my job. Quay added, there are plenty of people who are medical professionals who have every right to do what they want with their own bodies. I'm not doing it at work. Healthcare workers aren't making a lot of money, and I'm not the only one trying to make ends meet. She moved to New York in 2015 to pursue the performing arts and graduated in May 2017 from the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, a private conservatory in the Upper West Side whose alumni include singer Jason Derulo and actress Jessie Tyler Ferguson. She said she studied musical theater. Quay, who lives in the Bronx, started auditioning, she said, but soon realized that she didn't like showbiz and wasn't giving back to the community. In March 2018, Quay started working for Senior Care EMS as an EMT making minimum wage, about $15 an hour, she said. After a year on the job, she stopped working temporarily to complete paramedic training at the Center for Allied Health Education, which charges $13,200 in tuition. As a paramedic, Quay earns $25 an hour, she told the Post. Private ambulance companies generally pay much less than big hospitals or the FDNY's Emergency Medical Service, where paramedics start at $48,237 annually and make $65,226 in base pay before overtime after 5 years. The pay is pretty crappy, another paramedic said of rookie jobs with private ambulance companies. It's where you get experience. Quay also worked as a hostess at an upscale Korean steakhouse to help pay her bills. Quay was not secretive about her online exploits. She made her last name known on her Instagram timeline, and her Twitter handle, @FoxyLlama, said New York City paramedic, along with a solicitation for OnlyFans. After Quay first spoke to the Post, she deleted at least 7 OnlyFans posts, including an offer to watch a 16-second shower video for only $10. After November 27th, she locked her Twitter and Instagram accounts and omitted the reference to OnlyFans in her Twitter profile. As of Friday, all her OnlyFans posts were deleted. I know Senior Care would deem this inappropriate, so I took it down in the hopes that I won't lose my job in the middle of a pandemic and 3 weeks before Christmas, Quay tweeted. She said Senior Care had asked to meet with her. A veteran FDNY paramedic agreed that EMT pay is paltry, but blasted Quay's choice of a side career. Other EMTs and paramedics make more money by pulling extra shifts instead of pulling off their clothes, he said. On Senior Care's website, the descriptions of all jobs forbid inappropriate conduct on and off duty. The requirements include adheres to standards of personal ethics on and off duty, which reflect credit upon the profession. Well, if you haven't heard of this story, you may have heard of the response to it. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, with her inimitable tact and brilliance, tweeted out this little gem of genius. Sex work is work. The federal government has done almost nothing to help people in months. We must pass stimulus checks, UI, small biz relief, hospital funding, etc. Keep the focus of shame there, not on marginalizing people surviving a pandemic without help. Okay, I mean, first and foremost, it's nice to see a commie like AOC applauding capitalism. I just wish the only time she were applauding capitalism weren't when she was applauding capitalism in its most violent, dehumanizing iteration, but that's another story for another day. The story that seems important to me and which I'd like to focus on is AOC's comment, which is echoed by Teen Vogue. Yes, I actually read a Teen Vogue article as part of my research. Rolling Stone also lambasts the New York Post article, and as have other less reputable journalists. And yes, that means that Teen Vogue and Rolling Stone aren't the bottom of the barrel, which is disturbing. And everyone seems to be saying the same thing, including Miss Quay, who recently told her own story in the UK Independent. It seems from everyone not working at the New York Post that the bad guy is the New York Post. Everyone is saying the same thing, which is, it doesn't matter what you do in your spare time as long as you do your job right. Quay says this in the UK Independent article. How I make money in order to help those in need is nobody's business but my own, and certainly no patient has asked if I'm an OnlyFans before allowing me to help them. Now, at first glance, this has the glimmer of truth, but upon closer inspection, it really doesn't hold up. Think about it this way. When my son was in the hospital, I didn't ask the Lifelight team or anybody if they were prostitutes. Because let's not pretend Miss Quay isn't a prostitute. I didn't. And I didn't ask any of the doctors or nurses either. I never asked any of the neurologists or physical therapists who have treated my son if they were prostitutes. You know why? Because I didn't think that that was a realistic possibility. I also didn't ask them if they were serial rapists or child molesters or murderers or war criminals or crackheads. I didn't ask those questions because, in the moment, the possibility that a person working in those professions would be involved in any of the nasty stuff I just mentioned seems unlikely. But here's the thing. If we accept Ms. Quay's argument that what she does in her free time doesn't matter, then logically, it wouldn't matter if she were a serial rapist either. If being a child molester doesn't affect her ability to be a paramedic, then nobody should get upset, right? I mean, just because somebody murders homeless people and then cannibalizes them, that doesn't necessarily in any way affect their capacity to care for people on an ambulance, right? Because as long as it doesn't affect her job performance, nobody's allowed to care, right? The New York Post is shaming and doxing Ms. Quay. And they're really the ones doing a shameful thing, according to people on the left, which is high irony coming from the news media, for whom doxing and shaming their political opponents is their bread and butter and stock and trade. Okay, fair enough. Maybe the New York Post shouldn't have released her name, etc. But hasn't Ms. Quay already done that and tried to profit off of it? The fact that it might cost her her job is something perhaps that she should have thought of before she, you know, engaged in behavior she knew she would get fired from if it came to light. But for the sake of argument, they're right. Maybe the New York Post shouldn't have done what it did. Okay, so Teen Vogue, Rolling Stone, AOC, and all the rest are never going to dox a conservative or try to keep enemies lists like are actually being compiled or, geez, I don't know, attack teenage boys and talk about how punchable their faces are. That behavior is going to end from the left, right? Because to not play by the rules they demand their opponents play would be rank hypocrisy, right? Yeah, I ain't gonna hold my breath on that. The reality is that all the arguments are either specious or hypocritical. And moreover, I expect that people who work in healthcare meet certain moral standards. It does matter. It matters to me and it should matter because people who will sell their bodies for money have demonstrated an incapacity to properly weigh ethical matters. And people who hold people's lives in their hands need to demonstrate a modicum of virtue. And moreover, let's continue her argument a little bit. Ms. Quay is saying, and I'm quoting exactly, how I make my money in order to help those in need is nobody's business but my own, and certainly no patient has ever asked if I'm on OnlyFans before allowing me to help them. So by that logic, it's okay for me to rob banks to give to the poor? Or maybe, I don't know, kill the rich and give their money to the poor? I mean, I can kill some wealthy Jews and give their property to the poor because it doesn't matter how I get money to help other people. That's what she says. Now, you could run to her defense and say, well, Luke, that's obviously not what she means. Obviously there are limits. There aren't any limits in her statement. And if she does believe in limits, then her own argument collapses under its own hypocritical weight. Now, she presumably would say something like, well, I mean, the limit is that as long as you aren't hurting someone else, then it doesn't matter how you get your money to help other people. Yeah, nice try, but that dog won't hunt either, for several reasons, and I'll just give you the most important. Pornography and prostitution does hurt people. It hurts the pornographer, it hurts the viewer, and it hurts society at large by creating people with less virtue and more vice. This is the same nonsensical argument, and by the way, hypocritical argument, we get from secularists all the time. On one hand, they say, well, what people do behind closed doors doesn't hurt anybody else, so it's fine. But then they want to say that I'm guilty of a hate crime if I don't call a mentally disturbed person by whatever pronouns they happen to prefer on that particular day. I mean, silence is violence, but on the other hand, things that actually undermine our culture, those are fine and dandy. Yeah, no, it's blatant hypocrisy. Now look, I actually agree with the hardcore left that people can be complicit through silence. I'll buy that. I think that position needs to be nuanced, but I think that the fundamental idea is true. You don't have to actively be doing evil to be culpable for the evil being committed. If you actively or passively facilitate the evil, you can be considered liable. I agree that more is violence than just physical violence. I agree that people are complicit in the culture and society they create. I agree. The problem is that we have fundamentally and irreconcilably different views of what constitutes evil. We don't agree on what is good and what is evil and what is beneficial and what is harmful to society. I agree with the wokists that things that harm society indirectly can and should be legislated. I think that we can and should expand laws to illegalize many of our idiotically termed victimless crimes. The problem is that I'm using the eternal, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God as my authority, and they're using Marx, Darwin, and Freud. But at a deeper level, this whole conversation reveals a much deeper problem, and that is that what we think about our lives and selves is wrong. We tend to think of our lives and ourselves that they're infinitely compartmentalizable. And we think that you can cut the human personality into ever smaller pieces and that they never have to affect each other. And this is utter foolishness. Freud actually helps us here. When you try to compartmentalize your life, it's usually a pathology. People who want to live disintegrated lives have disintegrated personalities, and that's pathological. You don't have to suppress painful memories or impulses to be unhealthy. And despite the fact that this is well known, this is what our society seems to be pushing more and more. Our entire education system works like this. Contemporary education treats disciplines like food on a four-year-old's plate. Nothing can touch, nothing can integrate, even though we all know it goes to the same place and has to be integrated for it to be useful. But that's not the way we currently view things. We think that we can just cut the human personality into a billion little pieces and they never have to touch or interact or bother each other. And you can be a despicable, vile, vicious pervert in private as long as you go to work and are polite to the neighbors. Except it doesn't work that way. The issues of life refuse to be segregated. Human personality refuses to be segregated and disintegrated, and our very souls will rebel, as psychology warns. When our subconscious rebels against conscious repression, you can't really predict the results. Other than to predict that there will be bad. But here's the final point I want to make. Here's the final point. It would be easy. It would be very easy to point to this story and connect it with the Bible's condemnation of people who can't even blush. I mean, it's a very serious passage in the scriptures. The Israelites are condemned because they've forgotten how to blush. And I could tie what's happening here to that text, and I could argue that the wokists are trying to eradicate shame. But that's not really the case. They aren't trying to get rid of shame. They're trying to reimagine and realign our values so that things that used to be shameful aren't, and things that weren't are. To the godless in our culture, being white is shameful, and being a prostitute is noble. But the thing is, even if Miss Quay is a hooker with a heart of gold, that's still humiliating and shameful. You're still a hooker. You might have a heart of gold, but you're still a hooker. And that's shameful, and that's humiliating. And I'm not trying to tear her down. Really, I'm not. I've done more than my fair share of shameful things. I've done more than my fair share of vile things that I'm grateful aren't public. It really is humiliating to have shameful things made public. I think we can all feel sympathy for her. We can all, and I think we all should feel sympathy for her. This is deeply embarrassing. Deeply shameful, deeply humiliating. We can all feel sympathy because we have all been there. We all have these secret things that we don't want revealed. But the answer to being shamed or being ashamed is not to try to eradicate shame, but to stop doing shameful things. But more than that, we, especially in the church, we need to come to grips with the fact that there are indeed shameful things. And we shouldn't be afraid to call them such, even if it causes people existential and emotional pain. Now, I'm not, of course, talking about trying to harm people. I'm not saying that we should go out and try to publicly harass and harangue people and try to make them feel ashamed. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is being plain and being clear about what sin is and not backing down on that to spare people's feelings so that they can avoid shame. Because shame, properly understood, convicts us of sin. And if you want to avoid salvation, avoid humiliation. If you never humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and recognize your own sin, you will never be saved. I pray that the church will grow enough backbone to fight against this reordering of virtues and vices and live and promote a virtuous life which honors and glorifies Christ. I hope and pray we will. and I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.